cheese pizza is great.
So $37, that's a lot. That's a huge tip, Nino.
There's a big difference.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Friday, July 13th, 2018. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me is my lucky twin brother, John Abaya.
As you wish.
And my charming nephew, John Nino Abaya.
Hey, hello.
Cool. How are you guys?
We're good, John. We're good.
How are you, Johns?
Yeah, right.
My Johns are pretty good. The bathroom's pretty clean. I cleaned it this morning. I have two kids, so the Johns are really well organized. I don't know.
Okay.
What?
Johns, that's another word for bathroom, right? Am I not wrong?
Yeah,
okay.
No. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impression of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is adding to the list of the freaking awesome things in 2018. Or, I meant to say the 18 freaking awesome things in 2018. At the moment, we only have three things, and the rules are, Nino, if you weren't here before, is that you could subtract or add to the list. So that means you could subtract one of the things on there and you could add one of the things. But whatever it is, it's basically encompasses everyone's freaking awesome things in 2018 from our guests, from us. So right now the list is God of War, Hobo Johnson, the musician, and Black Panther, the Marvel movie. But yeah, so we'll get to that towards the end. But before all that, we won't have a trailer talk, but we'll start off with John. What have you been doing the past couple of weeks, aside from recording podcasts with your lovely wife?
Oh, without you guys? Because those are the best podcasts, right? With just me and my wife? Yep. I'm not joking, too. Those are better. I have a more comfortable time doing that with my wife versus this thing.
It's a normal conversation.
Yes. So, actually, I've done a lot of things in the couple of weeks, or the last time I talked to you guys. I've read Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. It took me almost how many months? Probably 3 months to read that book. I was reading that book with my son. I was reading it to them while they were for bedtime. Basically, it's a bedtime story. We agreed last year we should try reading these books because we have the whole set, a collection. My wife, Audrey.
Which one is it?
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Which one is that? Like
the first one.
That's basically the Philosopher's Stone.
Yes. Oh, yes.
No.
Yes.
Is that the first one? Like which?
That's the first book. Yes. The first book. Series. Sorry. So I've never read them. I've never even watched the first couple of movies. I don't know if I even actually discussed this on the podcast. I feel like I probably did mention it. I was reading it, but we did finish it a couple of weeks ago. But I'm now starting the second book. But my thoughts, real quick, on the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I can see the appeal of this book. Why do people like it, especially younger readers reading it? It is a coming of age type book, especially a book where if you feel like you're special or not special, but you feel like you can contribute, you know, to the world somehow. And then this book is very, you know, optimistic about life and stuff like that. Even if you have like a bad family that you feel left out and whatnot, but you can have a whole new family, you know, that are that always support you and stuff like that. You just have to find them. And Harry does in the first book, and it's pretty nice. After I read the book, I watched the first movie, and then because I started watching Harry Potter when it was the one with the werewolf. I forgot what that one
is. No, you watched it in the third one.
Yeah, yes. The third book.
The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, that's...
The darker one. So, yeah. I heard... So what my wife told me about the book, Audrey, that the third movie gets darker, and then the first two movies are more lighthearted. And I, yeah, judging by the first movie, it has more color than the other films. It has more, like, vibrant colors and this very whimsical atmosphere, like you're in this cool new world and everything. And I don't know, because I've watched the third one, and it was really established and stuff like that. And Harry's more older, very older. And the first one, they look like kids, like literally just kids.
Yes.
I was, like, really surprised, yeah, and stuff like that, the way they portrayed them. I didn't... So it's hard from... imagining them from the book versus, because I already have this visual to me, because I've watched the movie and stuff. So I didn't really like see them any different when I was reading the book.
So you didn't imagine Harry Potter as not Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah, not Daniel Redford and Hermione.
Redfield?
Yeah. Hermione, not Emma Watson and whatnot. And it's the exact same in my mind. That's how I saw them. It's just maybe because I had that visual already. The book,
do they describe them the same
they do
way?
They actually do, but they don't go into too much detail. Like, they say Hermione is this curly haired girl and stuff. That's it. Like, they don't really, like, Harry has this glasses and his scar. They don't really say much about him. Like, they show Ron as this, like, redhead, or bright, you know, red hair, but he's, like, dirty a little bit. Like, you know, he comes from the poor family and stuff like that.
So they leave it to the readers to have them to imagine, yeah, who these characters are. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, from it's almost the exact same story. They did a great job, like, transferring that one book into a movie. They probably are missing some characters they allure in the book more than in the movie. Especially this one character, and he's in the second book a lot. It's Ron's brother, Percy. I was like, kind of... yeah, he's Percy. He's a preface? I forgot what you call it. I always called him Perfect in the book. I was reading the word wrong. It's actually prefect. I don't know. Prefect is in some schools a senior student authorized to enforce discipline. Okay, I just read that online just right now. I didn't know that was the name. But yeah, other than that, yeah, it's a good transfer or adaptation from book to movie. I thought that was really good. Another movie that I watched that I believe I watched when I was a kid, but not really paid attention. And I really was really surprised about this movie. And I thought it was really funny. It had a lot of good one-liners, apparently, that I hear a lot of people say, but I didn't understand the context of those one-liners or those references. So I'm like Steve Rogers now. I get that reference. And if you watch Steve, if you understand that reference, you watch Marvel movies. The movie I watched is The Princess Bride. So yeah,
available on Netflix.
Yeah, that's available right now on a lot of streaming services. So I've never watched. I've watched the movie, but never completely. Like, I watched bits and part of it. I knew it's a movie in which Fred Savage is a story time. Like, what's his name? I got the guy who plays the grandfather. I forgot the actor's name, but the grandfather's reading Fred Savage when he's a kid, of course, this storybook. And then the storybook, the movie is that storybook, The Princess Bride. And I didn't know this, too. I guess that is a real book, too, that you can actually buy. I haven't looked into it. I don't know if the actual book is a book of someone reading a book to someone else, or is it just The Princess Bride, like the literal story of The Princess Bride book, you know, in book form and stuff like that. I have to say, it's a very funny film. I actually laughed out loud many times in the movie. Got all the little references. I thought, what's his name? The Wesley character, the main, or not the main protagonist, but he plays Wesley. Name is Cary
Elwes.
Yeah, Cary Elwes. He's famous for Robin Hood. Yes, mostly Saul, Ben. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But Robin Hood, Men in Tights, too, is the other thing I know him. Mm-hmm. I can see why they pick him for this for Robin Hood from this movie. He's very charismatic, and his like delivery is really good. Like his very witty, his personality and everything. I could see why they wanted him to be that character in Robin Hood. Yeah, everything in here was really good. Like I see why everyone's hyped on this. I know now why there's like a cult following and why people quote this movie unconceivably a lot. I don't know if I'm using that word right.
Inconceivable?
Inconceivable. Yeah. So many times. And I it's a perfect like little story for kids too. Like they show like it's okay to have like these love scenes in books. It be the Fred Savage character is of like the typical boy in that age where all he wants is like fight, but then he learns like, oh wait, you can have that love story in there and stuff. And sometimes the bad guy doesn't die story. Sometimes the hero finds a way, you know, to outsmart the villain without violence. I was like, that's kind of cool, like a cool storybook. Now I'm more interested in buying the actual Princess Bride if it's the actual like translation, actual adaptation of that.
And you could probably read that to your child.
Yes, yes, and then
or your children.
Mm-hmm. Only one, Ben. I was just gonna read it to one child. to him, and then I should read it to one of them one at a time. Like different times, like chapter one's for this kid, chapter two's for this kid, and they have to talk to each other to put the book together. That's a really good parenting advice.
This is the one that's based in Wisconsin, right?
Yes. The Fred Savage is from Wisconsin. Yeah, that area.
Because so you saw the mower race.
No. This race. One, most of the stuff that's in Wisconsin, I believe, is only in his room. That's it.
Oh, so they didn't show it. Okay, because the film showed a few things from Wisconsin, which is the lawnmower race. Pretty much what that is you have a ride-on mower. They gutted everything and then made it into a power, like a race car.
Oh,
if you watch it, it became more of a Mario Kart.
Oh, okay.
but yeah, so it must be a film thing instead of a book. Mm. Got it.
but yeah, it's really good. You guys should watch this movie.
If you can. Yeah, we watched that one. You mentioned two films right now that I feel like everyone in our audience have watched.
Everyone.
Yeah. I'll give a shout out to Robin Wright. She's like very young in this
film, who? I think.
Robin Wright, the princess, the actual princess.
Oh, okay. Who? Robin what other Wright? Films has she been in? Characters or a lot of the actors in here, I don't recognize them except, what's his name? Fred Savage. Like, oh, besides the Saw guy, yeah, him too. But then, because I was watching it with my mother-in-law, and she recognized, what's his name? Oh, God. He plays the Ingo Montana, Mandy Patinkin guy.
And
he's in a lot of TV shows, mostly
CSI.
Yeah, those movies. And then I was like, who's Mandy Patinkin? And I looked him up. I was like, oh, it's that guy. I didn't even know that's him. Like, he aged so differently from The Princess Bride to now. Like, he does not look like the way he looks like in The Princess Bride.
Chicago Hope is, I'm thinking.
Yes. And then it's a good, like, scenes with Andre the Giant, that's really good too. I thought that was like a wonderful way he acted.
So Robin Wright is basically Claire Underwood from House of Cards, the wife.
Mm-hmm. I've never watched.
Have you watched Blade Runner 2049?
No, I haven't watched that too. Give me another one.
Oh, I see. Yep.
Have you watched Justice League?
Justice League?
She plays the mother of Diane.
Whoa, that's her? Oh, yeah. Okay. I get that reference. No.
I do. Okay. I do want to apologize. I got the film mixed up from Princess Bride to Princess Diaries. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But is Princess Diaries filmed in Wisconsin though? Because you
no the male the guy.
Oh, okay.
But she did a transfer student something like that, and she went to Wisconsin, and he kind of introduced her to his culture.
Oh, okay.
So I'm still. So there is a scene with Fred Savage, and he is in the bedroom. I don't know what city he's in. And there, I thought it was Wisconsin because I thought I saw
Badgers.
No, not Badgers. The Green Bay. Green Bay stuff. I might be wrong because he has a lot of random stuff. Literally, Captain America's back there too, so you get that reference a lot too. But yeah, that's all I did.
Wait, did the reference of Captain America when you were saying, was it the Princess Bride in the Avengers? Was that the movie he watched?
What are you talking about?
Like, you were saying that, like, Steve Rogers, was that a reference to an Avengers film he did where he had to know references?
Yes, Ben. That's amazing.
But was it the Princess Bride he had to know?
Oh, no, it's not. I'm just saying that because I've always heard those references from Princess Bride that I never understood why people had those. And then I understand now, like, why, you know, with that As You Wish quote or unconceivable, that thing.
Inconceivable.
I might be getting other references mixed up now.
Cool. So that's what you've been doing, watching older films.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Reintroducing it to us.
I've been playing Fortnite Season 5 too, but that's old news. Like, it's the same game, building, destroying, don't get killed, stay 100, find your friends, don't get the collar blow up, be the number one person.
Ninjo, so what have you been doing? Have you watching old films too? Are you going to talk about
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? There's a couple things came out. Actually, I'm a little bit more active again with Pokemon Go because they have a lot of new stuff, and the biggest one is trading. And Ben, your fiance is into it too.
Yes,
as I recall.
So if listeners, if you want to gift my fiance Pokeballs, I think that's what she needs the most.
But it's random, though. It's not selected. It's gift set that we send each other, and then it's a package, whatever's in there. But the interesting part is that you're able to trade Pokemon. However, if we're not best friend, it'll cost us 1,000,000 Stardust. To catch one Pokemon is usually 100 Stardust.
What?
So you can see the equivalence of it. Unless if it's a more evolved Pokemon, then you get 300 Stardust. But if you're not friends and you just want to do a straight trade up, it'll cost 1,000,000 Stardust. So you need to develop friendship. And that's when you send gifts daily. And then once you develop that friendship, and then it'll get discount. I'm not sure what it is, but like there's four hearts. If you think about Link in Zelda, you know, you got the hearts half. It's the same concept. There's four hearts right now. Tyrone and I are two, but it's out of four. And that's the highest one. And there's another
and
person.
And he was your best man in your wedding. And you only have two
hearts.
Well,
that's two. I know. And we've been doing, sending gifts back and forth. The first heart is easy. It's everything else is hard. But if you skip like a streak, it kind of slows it down again.
That's a new mechanic in the game, that thing?
I guess. But the trading is new. There's a lot of new stuff in there I didn't know. Like, for instance, if you do like a raid or anything like that during the day and your Pokemon is like a day Pokemon, its move increases. Like, it boosts like, I think, plus 25% of damage or something like that. If its attack is like Sunbeam, you know, versus if it's cloudy or raining and your Pokemon's water, then it boosts it a little bit more. It's very interesting. Like, oh, wow. This is all new stuff. Anyhow, so I'm kind of back on it, but the big part about it is I told my wife it's a walking tracking distance device. That's my biggest thing. Because, you know, when we walk the dog, I have it on and it tracks, you know, it hatches the egg and all that stuff. But yeah, that's my biggest part of it. I'm not as active as I was in Wisconsin, like going to raids and all that, but it's great here and there.
Because I'm not playing the game, I can't give you anything until we're friends. That's the thing. Like, because I'm not going to continue playing.
We can be friends. However, if we're not best friends, like, for instance, we're friends. If you don't send gifts, then that's not best friends.
So what's considered a gift?
Best friend that you want.
Just A Pokemon?
You go to Pokestop? No, no. You go to Pokestop, you spin that thing.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then you get items. And one of the items could be a gift. Gift item.
It's a box. It literally is a box.
Yes. Okay. And then you send that to me, and I send one to you as well.
So I can't give you, and like, the berries or the...
No, you can't manually do it. It's a package.
Oh, okay.
That's why when Ben's fiance is asking for Pokeball, I don't know. I'll give her a gift, but I don't know. It may not contain the Pokeball she wants. So
interesting.
It's random. Yeah. So so it's a little active here and there, but not, like, really, really active.
Do you battle?
Yeah, to take the gem, because you get coins, and you use the coins to buy items that you need. So,
have you ever...
But this, you can't do one-on-one battling yet.
No, I battle in the gym.
Yeah, I think there, because that's the one thing that people want, is that one-on-one battle where it's right next to you. You know, if you had your phone, yeah. I had my phone.
We yeah, like so battle. Like back in the day, yeah.
Yep, yeah,
like
yeah.
The Game Boy and all
with
that.
With the new Nintendo Switch game coming out...
Go.
I wonder if they will implement that mechanic into the actual Pokemon
but,
Go.
But you have to remember, too,
interesting, though.
That if you have that... Because I know in the new Switch game, the Go one, the Go Eevee and Go Pikachu, if you have an account for the Pokemon Go, you can transfer your Pokemon into those games and then use them. But that game is like a...
But can it go vice versa?
I don't... I'm not sure, actually. I haven't looked that up, but...
I mean, that game's not out yet, though, right?
No. But that one's different because you travel the world inside the game. You're not outside walking around.
Oh, so yeah, most likely you can't do it the other way then.
No, because it's the same gameplay, though. It's literally the same thing where you hold the Joy-Con, you know, your little thingy bobber for Nintendo Switch, and mm-hmm. you do that swipe thing, or you curve it and whatnot, throw mm-hmm. that Pokeball to the screen. Exact same thing. It's not too... RPG-ish, like the original Pokemon. You're not like selecting mm-hmm. a moveset mm-hmm. and then doing that. Yeah, you're not doing that at all. But yeah, it still has that same gameplay, but it's just condensed inside a world inside the Pokemon.
Plus, you're able to travel unlike in real life. Yeah, you know? Yes. Because there's some Pokemon that's regional.
Yep, yeah.
So for you to get it, you have to go Caribbean.
Yeah.
You know, some of the Pokemon, you have to go Europe. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm
so probably in this one, they'll have like landmass probably like or equivalent to that. So you just walk over. I mean, in your virtual person will go to that land.
Well, maybe they'll drop you off from a school bus.
Wait, why?
You know, to Europe.
Oh,
okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Okay, so I have another one. So it's a film. It's an anime film that came out early last year. It's called Sword Art Online, the movie. It's an ordinal scale. I'm not sure
Wait,
if you guys
what's are familiar. What's the name of this title again?
Sword Art Online, the movie. And then dash ordinal scale.
So I know so the video game. Like, I heard about the video game stuff. I didn't know really that there was an anime based on this.
There's actually the anime came out first.
Ah,
I think they
okay.
have three seasons. They have I know they have two seasons right now. I think they're going the third season, a new stuff.
I like the concept of this game. Film. So it's kind of cool.
Yes, it is. Are you familiar with it, Ben, or no?
I'm not.
This is so weird. I could see like Steven Spielberg, someone, because of Ready Player Online. It's
Ready Player One, you mean?
Yeah, yes, Ready Player One.
No, so, but when he remakes it, it's gonna be called Ready Player Online.
Yeah, right. So the original anime series is pretty much a virtual world, just like Ready Player. However, you are in a calm stage because everything happens in the mindset. So it takes you in. So you go online through your mind. Inception, a good example. The film Inception. So you go to sleep and then you go to a virtual world, and then that's where you play the game. And you, from that game, you're able to completely be someone else. And it's an RPG game. However, in that TV series, something happened where the developer decided to, like, you know what? You can't log out. So they were stuck in there, and then they had to defeat the boss, blah, blah, blah. So there was a story. This film is the aftermath of that.
Oh.
And there's a new game called Ordinal Scale, and this is more of like a Ready Player, where they put something next to your ear, and it kind of goes... like a little screen on your eyes as okay. well. And then you could press. It's actually interesting because you set it up where they have a raid battle and they set it up and then they block the area and this area becomes the raid battle. But when you turn on your ordinal scale, you see everything differently. It becomes a virtual world. But you're active in it. So just like Ready Player, however, you don't stay in one spot. You actually go all over the place. And so when you're battling a big boss, you see this big boss in front of you. If you get hit, you die, or your character dies, but you know, you're still physically okay. But you have to run. You physically have to run maneuver. And then the interesting part is that when you beat this boss, you get rewards. And they were talking about like some of the rewards, a discount to this pizza joint, the Starbucks area, you know, they're acquiring bonus points for like local shops. It's able to detect like your favorite stuff. It's kind of tracking your movement as well. There's a catch at the end, what is happening, because there were some people were taking advantage of it, and there's a story as well to it. So I can't really go in detail because you kind of have to watch the anime as well to catch the film, because there's a backstory to it. But the concept is very interesting because I can see it happening. Like I said, Ready Player kind of started it, where you're in virtual world but you're moving. You know, you can move and you can feel it because you have that suit. Here it's similar. So it's
you're
interesting.
Just unconscious.
No. The TV series, you're unconscious. Because that's called Sword Art Online. While the film is called Ordinal Scale, that's a new different game. So it's like Xbox and then Nintendo Wii.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are they the same characters?
Yeah, they're same characters.
Because you watched the anime in this movie, are you interested in playing the game now? Or have you ever played the game?
No, I haven't played the game yet. I don't know. It's interesting. I rarely play anime to a game. Dragon Ball Z is like yes, the one I play. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't even play Final Fantasy.
I wonder if you can customize your own avatar, like in here, like make your own person, and then you're in that world and fighting along with the characters in the anime. I wonder if that's how the plot is.
My question for you, will you play a game where you're in a coma and just coma stage and then play it virtually, or you prefer playing actively like a Wii? Where, you know, you're roaming all over place.
So I have to move my body to move my avatar? That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Because when in virtual world, while you're asleep, it's a bigger world. Like an Elder Scroll, like a huge world. While you're playing actively, you're limited to what your condition is.
Depends. If I get hurt, will I feel it physically?
No, unless you trip. You know, no, like
say
object,
like an
but if
say,
a monster hits you,
yeah,
it'll hit your character. But if it hits zero, you just log out.
No, but if it hit
you won't
me,
feel it.
No, so I won't like wake up and there's a bruise on my eye, right?
Okay, so which one are you talking about, the Sword Art Online or the original Ordinal Scale?
The original one.
The original one, you're in coma, so you won't feel anything.
Okay.
Because everything is in your mind.
Okay.
However, you have to go back to like Avatar.
So I have to fight
back
my way out.
No. You know
so
what I mean? Like Avatar.
What's crazy is I was wondering, like the majority of the show takes place in that, you know, unconscious state. So do they ever show them awake?
Oh,
what
yeah.
do they do when they're awake?
Are they like teenagers?
They're
or
like
kids?
Yeah, regular student. Okay. Wow. The regular student. The main character, Kiriko. He's actually one of the what do you call it when you play the games before it's released and you're
beta,
like
a beta
people.
Tester.
Yes, he's a beta player,
and
he took advantage of that, and then he became kind of the leader, and some people didn't like it because he knew all the secret routes, but he also developed a map. So there's here and there he became great, and he developed a new technique within the game. So it's very interesting because when you're a virtual world, you're able to develop beyond what it was scripted.
So in real life, he was a beta player, but in the virtual world, he was an alpha male.
Yeah, because he became great, and he played solo. when the TV series was out, they developed clan and groups to defeat the monsters. While the main guy, he preferred to play solo because that's how it's always been. So he became like an what do you call a killer whale? Alpha apex predator. So like he became so great. So he's able to roam back and forth and help out everyone else. Like, all right, guide you here. It is because like I love to play games. However, I can only imagine playing this type of game because you're stuck. You can't log out. So while your mind is somewhere else, your body is like decaying unless they take you somewhere else, like the hospital, keep you, you know, nutritioned. They can't log you out. You need your mind in your body.
This is an unrelated, like somewhat related question. Have you ever watched that episode in Black Mirror, San Junipero?
No.
Oh, because this but is what
that's it, a TV series, right?
Yeah, but it's a live action television series. But it just reminds me because in the plot of that is that they are in. Well, actually, I don't want to say it because it's actually going to spoil it for people who haven't watched it.
That's very interesting. That's in my list because Black Mirror is in there. Altered Carbon is also in my list.
Yeah.
From Netflix. So there's a few. I actually started a couple episodes with that Altered Carbon. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Sword. So that's what you've been gone.
Oh, Xbox One Sword and Art Online Fatal Bullet is on right now. You can buy that if you want.
That's right. The third season is out, but it's a different character. I kind of lost interest.
This game rates in Metacritic 72%, so it's not that bad. It looks cool. No. The artwork.
The film is the eighth highest gross in Japan.
Oh, really? Wow.
So this franchise is very popular in Japan. Very popular.
So, have you been doing anything else in the real world or virtual reality world?
No, nothing. Just been trying a few, like I said, trying new TV shows in Netflix and Hulu. Because there's so many of them, but like I don't know if I want to invest. So I tried like a pilot episode here. Like Altered Carbon's one of them. So Black Mirror is in my list.
There's this one game where you should join me where you're this little avatar and you have this little pickaxe and you have to like defend or try to survive. And there's like, you're on this island. There's like 100 of us.
Wait, isn't that...
Do I build or no build?
You can pick and choose.
Is that Players Unknown Battleground? Oh, wait, you have a pickaxe. You do have a pickaxe.
Players Unknown game. Oh, my goodness. I'm still mad about that game. Like, I will walk in. I open the door and walk into a building. All of a sudden, I'm in a closed room in the bathroom. I'm like, what? I'm shooting the guy. He disappeared.
Has the best. What happened? The best game with the best bugs.
Right? All of a sudden, I'm in the second floor patio. Like, how did I get here?
As for me, I did a couple. I did a lot of things too, but I just want to highlight some of the things I've done this past couple of weeks as I haven't been on. But I think I just want to give more, you know, spotlight to these things because I don't think people have been either watching them play them as much. Probably one of them they've done. But first, I watched a film called Hearts Beat Loud. It's a film directed and co-written by Brett Haley. I've never watched any of his films, but if it evokes the same like natural and sincere storytelling as this film, then I'm going to probably check those out too. But the film is starring Nick Offerman, Kirstie Clemons, Ted Danson, and Sasha Lane. I don't know Sasha Lane as much. I know she starred in this film called American Honey that I haven't watched yet. But this film, it came out probably a couple weeks ago. It was one of the films I wanted to watch with my fiance because we have this like list of films to watch together in the movie in the theaters and whatnot. So it's basically like a feel good coming of age film about a girl named Sam Fisher, played by Kirstie Clemons, and her father, played by Nick Offerman, which I feel like Kirstie Clemons is very talented and Nick Offerman is always awesome. So Sam is going to pre-med off to college in UCLA, but prior to all that, her and her father spend some time together in their New York City home. And while doing so, they have these jam sessions, you know, like when you're playing music and whatnot. And then Offerman's character was once like a musician who's now like a record store owner. And during the session, they started to create music together. Sam, she sings and plays like a couple instruments here and there. But Nick Offerman's character thought it was like a good idea to promote their music by uploading it to like Spotify. And by doing so, they received like positive feedback. And basically, that's like the whole film and their like music adventure ensues. Yeah.
Internet famous? Like the whole movie's about that? Like you become...
No, it's just like small famous, not like internet famous. They're like, he promotes them. I don't want to ruin the film if you're gonna watch it what their name their band, but it's pretty like lighthearted and whatnot, but overall it's great. They become like, you know, community famous, I guess, or like New York City, not even New York. They live in I forgot what borough, I think Staten Island, it's one of the boroughs in New York. But yeah, so overall, like the film is like inceptional and it's really great. I say it's a great film to watch, especially in these times when like so much is going on with the world, that it's just a film where you feel like euphoric, like you feel happy at the end and you want to smile and whatnot. And a lot of it is because of the soundtrack. It's very delightful. It's from Keegan DeWitt, who produced and scored it. But Kirstie Clemons, she actually sings. I don't know if she's like a natural singer. But
really?
She actually sings her songs, and she's really great. She's well known from the film Dope. I think John watched
it.
I don't know if you didn't know. But she plays one of the friends in Dope. And here, it's a completely different character, though. But like it shows her range as an actress, and then how much I want to see her in other films and whatnot. But yeah, she definitely will get your attention in the film, and her singing and her presence is really great. But yeah, that is Hearts Beat Loud. I think it's in theaters right now. And yeah, if you like any of those actors, Nick Offerman, Ted Danson is surprisingly there and really good there too. So yeah, I encourage people to watch it for a small film. You know, instead of watching Ant-Man and the Wasp, watch Hearts Beat Loud. Other than that, I also played a video game. It's titled Yoku's Island Express. Have you guys ever heard of this?
I've heard of it. Yeah. The pinball mashup.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah.
So basically, you play the titular character, Yoku, who's basically a dung beetle. You guys know what a dung beetle is, right?
The one that plays in poop?
Yeah, basically they push their poop in a ball, and then that's how they build their houses and whatnot, their homes. But this dung beetle all of a sudden becomes a postmaster. A postmaster is basically someone that delivers mail and whatnot. Upon arriving on a remote fictional island called Maku Mana. So the gameplay consists of like various types of platforming, but unlike most platforming, like John hints, your character Yoku can't jump because he's a dung beetle. And throughout the game, you're pushing not like turd or anything, but you're pushing a ball. Because I think, I don't know if dung beetles have to do that all the time, but that's their way of traveling in this game. So the developers created some like pinball mechanics within the game. So there are flippers, bumpers, and tracks throughout the game. And that's how you get by through all the levels. It's pretty neat and unique. All really cool to see this concept executed in this game. And throughout the game, you're given like quests because you're a postmaster. So you have to deliver this. You have to get this from someone to deliver this. It's pretty cool. So far, I really love the game. And as a person that doesn't have an abundant amount of time, I'm constantly busy and whatnot. So I either watch a film, go out, or play video games. And when I play video games, I'm very particular with the game because I need something that's small and sometimes independent and whatnot. That has it doesn't have like a lot of mechanics. So
they don't want like an Elder Scroll.
No, yeah, I don't play Elder Scroll or
That's why Ben's playing Battlegrounds.
Right.
It's so easy. The bugs are really great.
That little bug named Yoko that makes you transfer to one room to the next.
Right, it's so annoying.
And delivering things. But it's something for me to decompress, basically, enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to like concentrate too much. But it's quirky. It has quirky characters. It's light. The humor is lighthearted. And the whole game, you're basically helping like other creatures and being this good, wholesome dung beetle throughout the whole game.
I didn't know he was a dung beetle. I thought he was like a bird. I don't know why. Like every time I saw videos of him.
The music is really great. If you're into like video game music, it's one of the best music I've listened to. It's very relaxing and soothing. That it's one of those games where you invest so much time that you don't even know how much time is passing because you're so into it. If you're not really great in pinball, it might be frustrating for you. But
can you tilt the level?
No, you can't.
Okay.
Well, from what I've been playing, you can't. And there aren't lives, so you can't really die in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You are collecting fruits throughout to open and unlock certain things, which you could lose from, you know, getting harmed by the villains and whatnot.
Do they do that thing in pinball where, like, if you go in this one area this many times, a secret door opens or you get more balls?
It's, okay. That's actually one of the main things is most of its secrets is from you trying to hit your dung beetle into this room, like trying carefully, you know, aiming it correctly and whatnot. I'm a fan of like pinball. Like all the time I see one in an arcade, I would rather play that first. And I think I'm just attracted to like the lights and how cool these are. They're created in a very crafted way. Like it's kind of cool.
Just you and the ball.
Yeah, just the ball and whatnot. I'm not great at it though. But that's Yoku's Island Express. I think it's on every console right now.
Yeah, so I saw on the Switch.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm playing it on the Xbox One and it handles really well. So I really recommend.
No bugs?
There's literally a bug. You're playing a bug.
I mean, you know, Pugsy.
Yeah.
Is it Pugsy or Pugsy? Yeah, Pugsy.
Yeah, Pugsy. Pugsy. Yeah, there are no bugs, like video game bugs. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll go to our main discussion, which is the 18 freaking awesome things in 2018. Like I said on the top of the podcast, is that our list is very small right now. We're trying to fill it up in 18. We have about 6 more months to fill this up. I'm going to go first again. So right now, the things on the list is the video game God of War, the musician Hobo Johnson, Black Panther, the film. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually take out one thing just because I don't think just because there's some things about Hobo Johnson right now that's in the atmosphere that I don't think he deserves to be in there right now. But I'll replace him with Game Night. You've heard about this film, right?
Yes, I think we wanted to do an episode about this, but we didn't have time, and it is my favorite movie of the year. So,
really? Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's inventive. It stars Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams, and I think why I think it's worthy is because of what Rachel McAdams' character, her in a comedy, especially this type of comedy, is rare. I think she's been doing like a lot of dramatic roles. So seeing her doing this is really fun to see. And she plays this like quirky, happy-go-lucky character who's always positive, but also competitive. And I think the story and the plot is unique. A lot of people say it's like Clue, like the modern take of Clue. But I think it's more than that because of the references and I don't know. The characters are just likable. Like even in the end, you feel like these characters are people you would rather like hang out with in a game night or whatnot. And if you're into game nights, like playing board games or hanging out with friends, I think it's a really great film to watch with other people who are into that too. We should do this as a game night.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So one of the reasons too that my wife and I, when we were watching it, especially for Amy Adams, what's her name?
Rachel McAdams.
I guess that's not one of the reasons you watch it, because you don't remember.
for some reason, Amy Adams was in my mind. But that character kind of reminds me of your wife, Nino.
My wife?
Yeah, Audrey's like, she's like Amanda, the way she talks and her attitude. And I was like, you know, you're right. It's the way, if you watch it, you'll see.
In a good way.
It's in a good way, yeah. The way she's very, like, the way she tells jokes or something. It's right away, we thought Amanda right away, like the way she is in there. But you should watch it. It's really funny. I laughed so many times this movie. I love every, like, little detail, little, like, things they... I know I'm using this word a lot in episode references to board games throughout the whole film that you don't notice it's an actual reference until you play so many board games, you know, like, oh, that's from there. That this thing they're doing is from this board game, the way they're doing it, the style and stuff like that. And throughout the whole movie, that's all I was doing when I caught on what they were trying to do, like the certain scenes and stuff like that. And it was that maybe the reason why I love the movie so much. It just, they do it so well. They do it so subtly that you don't notice it unless you're noticing it. And I was like, that's kind of cool. And
I think it's just smart to be subtle. Like, it's smart that it does not like draw attention to certain things that you have to watch it a couple more times to actually,
to get the things you missed.
Especially, and then the thing that I think the one thing that you sold me, because Ben's the one that watched it first before me, is the cinematography of the film.
Oh yeah, that's a very unique film.
Yes, it's very unique,
beautiful looking film. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a comedy and this like weird hybrid of action comedy, it's very different than it. Sometimes it felt like you're watching this indie film or a horror movie in this weird way.
What?
And then yes, it's weird. Like when you start watching, it's like, what type of movie is this? And when I'm saying this, I think I talked about this movie on a podcast, but yeah, it is one of my favorite movies this year, and right now it's on like top of my list.
That's crazy because we're in a summer blockbuster.
Yeah, yes, nothing still
like season at the moment, and you're saying this. You know, you get the Avengers came out, even the Ant-Man Wasp was pretty good, and you're telling me it's one of your favorite ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's my favorite, one of my favorites, because how unique it is.
Oh, okay.
But like all these superhero movies and these blockbuster films, I've seen that before. Like I've seen it, but they're doing it well. Like they're doing it better and better. But when Game Night, when I watched it, I was like, I wasn't expecting
anything.
You don't
know what to expect.
Yes, yes. Basically. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even watch the trailer. I mean, I don't usually watch trailers as much anymore. I only probably watch the first one. That's it. But this movie came out at the time where I didn't see the trailer. Like the movies it probably was playing with was mostly comedy.
Oh,
actions.
Yeah, yeah. Because most likely came out last year.
Yeah,
fall,
yes. The trailers, yeah.
And or then, winter.
Well, no, the movie came out earlier this year.
Yeah, yes. This,
fall.
Yeah.
Fall
yes.
or summer. Yeah.
So when I watched it and I rented it like just a couple of months ago, it just hit Redbox or whatever digitally a couple of months ago. And then, I was like, oh, this is genius, the movie. I agree. It should be on the list.
I praise. Wow, okay.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything, John, to be added on the list?
I do.
What is it?
It's a band we've been talking about in the last couple episodes. I'm surprised we haven't added it to the list. It's Super Organism. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, you're doing it again.
Wow.
Organism.
Yeah, Super Organism. I did this last time, Nino, so brace yourself for my
speaking. What were you
going to
say?
Huh?
Nothing.
Let's just
say?
Move on. Yeah. Yeah.
Organism. Okay, yeah.
Super Organism. it is a pop synth happy-go-lucky band we discussed. I think we had like a main discussion about it. I've still been listening to their album. It is the album I've listened to when I feel like, oh, this is a tough day at work. I need to, you know, carry on. And I will just put this album on because it's so optimistic, so happy. The beats are so happy. So, like, everything about it is, like, just pick me up. It's not even a album that is very like loud or mm-hmm. it's not like a techno type album. It's not like
is a it band. A band or
it is a band.
It's a band.
Yeah, Ben knows it better than me than I.
Is it like a rock band or like techie or like what kind of music is
synth
it?
Synth is like the closest I would say.
Like what is it?
Yeah, it's a pop indie.
Pop rock. Indie, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's a similar group?
Nothing. That's hard. Have you ever played Splatoon 2?
Like a similar group, but it's an older group, but like it has the same sort of sound. Is what's that group called? Aqua?
Oh yes, Aqua.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Really?
Not the so song? Just yeah. But it's
but
not
no, the sound. The
yes,
sound,
the sound. Like the, it's oh, not the lyrics. The lyrics are more like indie. Like you I don't know how to describe it. It's like just very it's like it's simple. It's nothing too much. Like it's not they're not going to the broad pop sound like the lyrics.
Catchy.
It's catchy, but at the same time you don't know what they're actually saying. Like the what does this song actually mean and stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. Sounds very interesting, though.
You should watch.
When did I? How many albums did they come out with?
This is the first
this
one.
This is their first one.
When did they come out?
This year.
It's a short album. It's not that long. Like the songs are that long. You can actually play it, in any order, shuffle it, and then it's still good. Like the production's so well made.
Yeah,
that's awesome. How many songs?
Oh, probably like 10.
Okay, so it's not bad. It's not bad. That's worth it.
Do you have anything on this list to add, Nino?
No, not really.
Not right now?
I'm just going off. I'm just going off like summer list.
All right.
I mean, like the Ant-Man was really good, and I laughed so much. Oh my goodness.
You can put that on this list.
I'm thinking about it because even my wife, when we were watching it, she was laughing, but she looked at me, this is so stupid, but she was laughing so hard.
I haven't watched it yet, so not a lot of spoilers.
Huh?
I haven't watched it yet, but so no spoilers.
Oh, it just, you know, the trailer, if you enjoy the first one, you enjoy the second one, I think. It's the same with Deadpool. You know, if you enjoy the first one, you'll enjoy the second one as well. But this one is just the funny. Oh my goodness, the lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the Hispanic guy's name? Michael Peña.
Michael Peña. He's my favorite actor.
Oh my goodness, that guy is just ridiculous. I highly recommend people to watch it. I know the hype is real, but I mean, I know the hype is really like high, but it's real.
Do you think it was a right choice? So I don't know if people watch TV, Nickelodeon, whatever, like kids, especially like kids channels, I've noticed it only because we have like the Disney app or whatever app that it's called. They still play commercials. And sometimes I've seen the commercial for Ant-Man and I know it's not a spoiler. If it's a spoiler, it's like the lowest. If we had like a scale from 1 to 10, it's probably like spoiler level 1, I guess you could say. But they in the trailer, they always say critics love it, and it said especially the ending. I was like, what? Why would you even say that in the movie? Like that, I don't know any marketing material where you say you love Black Panther, especially the ending. Like that, I was like, why would you even say that part? Like the ending part.
Hyping it even more.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, why would you even say that at all? Like that little part. I mean, it's a minor like spoiler. Now everyone, I just said this. People are like, oh, I wonder what that ending is and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a thing, I guess, in the internet.
Okay. Yeah, so I haven't watched it, so let's not talk about the ending.
No, it's totally worth it. Yeah. I think it's totally worth it.
Okay, so we could put that on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So our list right now is God of War, the video game, Black Panther, Game Night.
You don't have the Avengers in there?
No, we don't have it.
So one thing we've done this in the past about like movies. If I'm going to put a Civil War, Infinity War, I won't put the whole movie. Can I just if I have to?
Oh yeah, we've done this where we put one scene.
One scene, but the thing I want to put on here is Thanos.
Hard for me to say because like that's a film that you cannot talk about because of spoilers.
But
like,
it's
so much in there.
I think Thanos is the thing that we should put because I think Thanos is a character in this movie. That people, I mean, he's on Fortnite. They had like a Reddit thread earlier this week where on the thread, if you're part of that, I forgot, it's called like Thanos Was Right on Reddit.
And
half the users or subscribers got banned. I was like, that's kind of cool. What Thanos has done this year with all these things from video games, from Reddit, from even the mindset of like, oh, do you agree what he does? Was that right?
It's true though. Like there's truth in what he did.
Yeah.
So he did something that no one else would do.
Especially a villain. Like the villain I mean, minor spoilers. Thanos is the villain of Avengers: Infinity War, and what he does in the movie is unbelievable, and it's kind of interesting to see.
I don't know. I think he was right, so he's not a villain in my heart.
I don't know. Every time I drive through California rush hour, I think about what he did.
Yeah.
What he should do.
Yeah.
So, I feel like if anything, I would add Thanos into this list. I did right now. I just put Thanos. We have an actual list, Nino, too, if you're wondering.
Cool. No, so there, I think that is our list.
Actually, if we can go a little bit deeper, who plays the character Thanos?
Okay, if you want to do that.
because him, to me,
Josh
is
Brolin.
A huge
Josh Brolin.
Summer for him. Huge.
Okay, we can do that.
He was Thanos. He was Cable. And he was Sicario's buddy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a big year for him. And all three of those films I actually enjoyed.
I will put him, Josh Brolin, right now.
Yeah.
So
it's huge. It's like, what? it's a big summer for him, I think. Mm-hmm. And those are not, like, just role play. They're, like, actually relevant characters.
I agree.
Cool. So this is our list now. God of War, Black Panther, Game Night, Super Organism, and Josh Brolin.
Okay, how we start?
We had a year.
Avengers, Thanos, and then him.
Yeah. Last year
I'm sorry. Are you including Ant-Man or no?
Oh, we could put Ant-Man. Yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp. John.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Hold on. So. Let's reload this list. I'm just going to put the MCU right now, okay? How about that? Okay?
No, don't do because of... I think the Avenger was great as expected, but I think Thanos was the big part of it.
Okay.
But, like, if you do MCU, you know, are you going to include Deadpool?
Oh.
Like, even though he's not in it, but he's a Marvel. To me, Deadpool was great,
I see what
but
you're
it wasn't like a changing the map type of thing.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I think Ant-Man was in it because the comedy fact, because the main guy, he's comedy specialist, and then he brought that in. And I don't know, you know, another MCU that was funny. Like, Michael Peña was amazing to me.
I'll add him in. Yeah, he's
in
there.
Six things on our list. Like Nino, like last year we had Donald Glover last year.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. He was in a lot of amazing things too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah,
like
that is our
solo,
list.
Or like Solo.
Yeah. So that is our list. So this is going to grow. We still have about 12 more things, John?
Yeah. We're just in July.
Yeah, so. Which is in July, so we have 12 more things. We could make this list. So before we leave, where can they find you, John?
At the most organized Twitter feed of 2018 at Abaya Arts.
Cool. Nino, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter, John Abaya. Actually, start posting Instagram again. It's amazing.
Is John Abaya like together?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
making sure too.
You can also find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us at thefreakingawesome.com and other episodes there. You can follow us on TFA Now, which means the Freaking Awesome Now, basically. On Facebook, you can also find us on the Freaking Awesome. If you want to contact us on email, it's contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. I believe that's it. Please, once again, subscribe, make comments, whatever you want to do. Recommend. I think we would want to hear your guys' recommendations and whatnot. You know, recommend some older movies for John to watch. You know,
I don't Gremlins. Know. Gremlins.
Yeah. They Live. I don't
they
know.
Live, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's it. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this Nino Abaya. Before we end, though, hold on. Are we doing recommendation for upcoming things?
Oh. No, we don't do that. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, like
we do that, but yeah, I don't have anything off my mind.
Yeah, what do you have?
What? World Cup.
Okay.
Well, okay. Yes, I agree with that. World Cup. It's the final, right?
I actually have
the final
something.
Is coming up tomorrow. It's between France and Croatia. And
Croatia. I'm for Croatia.
Interesting, because they were favored by 3% to make it to where they are.
I've heard
3%. But this is a Cinderella right here. So I am actually kind of excited. And for someone who's not a big soccer person, like,
I was
going to
say, some would say Croatia Linda.
Or are you trying to...
I actually want to shout out something too. It's actually a meme. It's a viral meme, I guess you could say. Is In My Feelings Challenge. It's the Drake song. Well known for doing the Shiggy or the Kiki challenge.
No idea what you're talking
about. I say go watch it. It's some of the best, like, Ghost Ride the Whip type of videos where people are getting out of the car and start dancing.
Okay.
I think it's fun, especially if you're very talented in dancing. I'm not, so. I just want to say advice to just be careful. Don't do it in front of traffic and whatnot. I know it's for fun, but I don't want you guys dying off because of
right,
because of Drake. No.
Yeah,
because of Drake. Ben, speaking of challenge, my wife and I have been really like following this specific challenge. It's amazing and funny and very like entertaining. It's a lip sync challenge from the police departments. And every single like PD, or not every single PD, but most PD has been participating. And who's the number one you like? Norfolk? No. Norfolk and Martinsville Police Department. Their lip sync challenge presentation or showcase were awesome. Like, I highly suggest people to watch it. It's very...
Is there a hashtag or no?
Hashtag lip sync challenge.
Okay.
Norfolk did a Bruno Mars... What song? Uptown Funk, but in all in one take. So that was very interesting. And the other one, there was a multiple different song, but they also used different like editing in there. Like for instance, the slow motion, and then became high beat. It's very interesting. Yeah, with the drone in there, very interesting. I highly suggest it. You know, very light, entertaining, and yeah.
Do you have a challenge, John, to bring up?
I challenge you guys to like and subscribe to our podcast.
Okay. Anyway, so that's it. Thank you for listening. I'm Benjamin Abaya once again.
I'm John Abaya once again.
And this is Nino once again.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.
Good night.